This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can worship you. 10,000 blessings. That's not even enough. You're so great. You're so awesome. And if we want to start thanking you, given to us, Father, then there's no end. We want to thank you, Father, for your Son Jesus Christ. It's the biggest gift that you've given us, and that through Jesus we can call you our Father. And that's the reason why we are here today as well, to celebrate it again. The relationship that we've got with you, Creator of heaven and earth. Everything would you give to us? Thank you. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you're going to quiet our minds. We are not going to be disturbed or not going to be distracted. What happened earlier today, the wind outside, or what happened maybe earlier this year, but that we can come and that we can lay that aside, that we can focus on what you want to share with us this afternoon, Father. And yes, the enemy is going to try and steal. Is going to put certain thoughts in our minds. But Father, you've given us authority, and I'm using that in the name of Jesus. I bind the enemy now in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind his powers over here, that he's not going to distract us. He's not going to speak in our mind for the next hour. That we can hear what you want to share with us, Father, today. Thank you. Thank you for all the things that we can receive from you, and that we can receive this afternoon again, Father. If you hold up our hands, that you're going to fill it with your love, never-ending love for us, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. It's awesome that you people are back. Thanks. I feel that the Lord has been speaking with some people during worship, but I'm going to allow space for that at the end of the sermon. And I'm going to start with what God wants to share with us this afternoon. And it's about His will. What is exactly His will? And what does He want to reveal to us this afternoon? His will is like a type of a rule. Now, there are a few people over here who have been staying for quite a few years in the Netherlands, and some of you were even born in the Netherlands. And the Netherlands, I think, is quite good with rules, with all the things what you've got to do and what you shouldn't do, and all those type of things. But the rules are not only guiding you, but the rules are also protecting you. Imagine yourself, if you decide one morning you're not going to ride on the right-hand side of the road, but this time you're going to decide to drive on the left-hand side. Then I think stick to the right hand. The right hand is going to protect you, that you're not getting that nonsense. So please, that we are obedient to what God is telling us, and also what the landlord is telling us. And today it's about God's law, His will, and also how we should live, and what we should do, and how we should interpret it, His will. And God gave the Ten Commandments. He gave it to Moses and the Israelites to help them, to guide them, to protect them, so that they should know what they should do and when they should do it. The Old Testament and the New Testament. Testament means will. This is what God wants us to do. It's written in the Old and in the New Testament. I'm going to start with a little bit of maybe a dubious statement. There are two wills of God. And you most probably will say, "Ooh, wait a moment, where are you getting it from? What is happening now?" And I'm going to try and explain it to you, why I'm talking about two wills of God. The first will of God is His decree. It's going to happen, like a king who's putting a certain law down, and that is going to happen. It's not negotiable. Last week we spoke about creation. It's something what God has done. There's nothing what we can do about it. And if we go to the backside of the Bible and we go to Revelations, heaven is going to come. We can jump high, we can jump low, we can scream hard, we can scream softer, we can do whatever we want to do. It is going to happen. Heaven is going to come. It's a decree from the King. It's a law. It's a sovereign will. It is going to happen. We cannot change it. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 26 when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then he prayed. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, is it possible? Let this cup pass from me." And then he says, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Not what I desire, but what you desire. This is what's going to happen." And that was the will of God. That was going to happen. Jesus was going to die for our sins. We cannot change it, and God is not going to change it. It's something which is fixed. It's going to be like that. So that is the one will of God. Then the other will of God is the will of God's command, or what he is telling us that we've got to do. And then it's up to us. Are we going to do it, or are we not going to do it? So there we've got an influence. We don't have an influence in the first one, but we've got an influence in the second one. And then the beauty of it is, if we mess up with the second one, if God is telling us a certain thing and we do something wrong, and God is standing there with his arms wide open, as what we've been singing just now, and he says, "Come, my child, if you repent, I'm always available for you." And we can come back to God and we can repent of not doing his will. Paul is talking about it in 1 Thessalonians 5, where he says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I've got to admit that in my years, many times, I've failed to thank God, that I didn't thank God for something, that I forgot about it. I prayed for it, I got it, and then I didn't do what I actually was supposed to do. That's what Paul is writing over here, that we should give thanks. So that's typically the will of God. He wants us that we should thank him for what he's been giving to us. But we are failing, and I don't think that I'm the only one. It's difficult for us, but we should give God thanks in all circumstances. So we've got the will of decree, which is going to happen. We can jump high, jump low, and then we've got the will of command. So there are two wills of God. And this is very important that we should understand it. Because in the will of command, there's something what we can do. The one verse which is the most well known about your will be done is what we read in Matthew 6 verses 10. The Our Father. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we take those three sentences, then we can turn it around as well. If we're not going to do his will, his kingdom is not going to come on earth. His kingdom is in heaven, and through his will, it can be done on earth. So we can move it around. God is asking that we should be doing his will. And it's actually awesome because it's Jesus is busy with his disciples, and he's teaching them now how they should pray. And he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." He knows everything about that kingdom because he is the king. His will, God's will be done. And then the thing is that your will be done is not a thing that we're only going to say, but we've got to do it as well. We've got to live it out. It has got to be something in our daily living that we live out the will of God. And if we're doing the will of God, then we can also pray. And if we're praying the will of God, then God is also going to bless it, that it is going to happen. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And And God's kingdom is going to come. And we can wait for that. But sometimes we're battling with it. Sometimes we're not doing God's will, but we're doing our own will. Or we're doing what other people are telling us to do. We're not listening to what God is telling us. Sometimes it's the will of the flesh. Sometimes it's the will of the mind. Sometimes it's even Satan's will. And we know if we're doing that, we're actually displeasing God, because this is not what God wants us to do. I also took the same verse of Matthew 10, verse 6. I took it out of the New Living Translation. The first one which I read was out of the New King James. And there it says, "May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And the reason why I'm putting it over here is, if I read it, it sounds like I'm bringing it to God and I'm leaving it with God. But that's not what God wants us to over here. He wants that we should work with it, that we should do something with it. It may happen, it may not happen. There's a 50% chance. Maybe this way, maybe that way. It's not like that. And what I've done is I've taken the parallel Greek, which means that you take the Greek words and you translate it directly into English. And if you put the two next to each other, the reason why I'm doing it is not that I said the New Living Translation is not a good translation, but I'm just showing you it's sometimes good to read different translations and compare them with each other and say what is actually going, what is written over there, and even go back to the original. Because the original says, "Come the kingdom of you, be done the will of you, as in heaven, so also upon earth." There's no may in it. There's no possibility built into it of a certain percentage of success rate. It's not built into it. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm not going to try to define the will of God. What is actually the will of God? And there are three different headings what we can put to the will of God. And the first one is that the will of God is more or less the same as saying it's the law of God. And Paul is using, David is using Psalm 40 verses 8, and it says, "I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within me." Paul took these verses, and actually a little bit more behind, in front of it and after it, and then he took it and then he used it in the Hebrews. And he said, this is where God, this is where Jesus actually has been living for. These could be words of Jesus. "I delight to do your will, O God, and your law is within in my heart." This is what Jesus lived for doing the will of God. So first of all, defining the will of God is that it is the law of God. We also can see it in Romans 2, where it says, "Indeed, you are called a Jew, and rest on the law, and may you make you boast in God, and know his will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law." The Jewish people were continuously busy with the law. They knew everything about the law. But then he says, know his will. That by knowing the law, that you also know what is God's will. What is it, what he wants us, that we should do? The second thing is that the will of God is also used for anything that is expressed as God's desire. What is God's desire, actually? What is the highest thing that God wants to have? That all the people on this earth, his creation, are going to be saved. That's God's will. That's God's desire. That is what we can include in that will of God. That's his desire. He wants to have everyone to be saved. But it's not happening. The third one is, the will of God may refer what God permits or allows to happen, even though he doesn't specifically causes it or even desires it to happen. And that's sometimes also called God's permissive will. God is not, it's not his will that certain things are happening. But it is happening. It is his permissive will which is allowing it to do. Once we know the defining the will of God, How do we respond to it? What are we doing with it? First thing what we should do is read, of course, the Bible, God's Word. What is it saying? In Ephesians 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And we can only be wise if we're reading the Bible, if we open up God's Word, and if we spend time in God's Word and that we read it. The next thing is that we must set our hearts and minds to following His will and a purpose for our lives. If we're going to read it in the Bible, but we're not going to put it into practice, and we're not putting God's will into practice, it actually doesn't mean anything. Then God's kingdom is not going to come. Colossians 1, verse 9 and 10. "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." This is now Paul praying for the Colossians. "And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will." This is where he's praying for the people in Colossians, that they may be filled with knowing God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, fully fruitful in every good work, and increasingly the knowledge of God. Once you read, once you are filled with the knowledge of His will, then there's going to be fruit as well. Then we see that they're going to walk worthy of God. They're going to please Him. They're going to be fruitful in every good work. And increasingly, they know more about God. Christ calls us, His followers, to pray for God's will to be done. That's what we've read just now in Matthew 6. He's telling His disciples, this is what you've got to pray. "Our Father, Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So that God's plan can be accomplished in our lives. And it's not only praying, but we've got to live it out as well. But we must realize, if we're going to pray it, then our lives must be in line with it as well. I cannot pray one side and do the other side. It simply doesn't work. There's one verse. The married people among us, please, it's an important verse over here. "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them," this is with your wives, "with understanding. Give honor to your wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. If I'm not going to say to Renee, "I love you," and she says back to me, "I respect you," then there's no relationship. And I can pray that I'm blue in my face, day in, day out. But if I haven't got a good relationship with Renee, then God's word is telling me, I could have been kept quiet. It wouldn't have meant anything. So if you're married, first spend time a little bit of time with your wife before you start praying, so that your prayers can be heard. And if you're still going to be married, the male people, please remember that. And then the female ones as well. But you know how important it is that it's written in God's word, that He wants to have that relationship between husband and wife to be intact, so that we can pray that God's will can come. We must not use God's word as an excuse for our lack of interest or not taking our responsibilities seriously in fighting the battle of sins. Because we can say, it's God's will, it's going to happen. No, God is giving us a certain authority. What did Jesus come to do? He came to destroy the work of the devil, what He has done with Adam and Eve. He came to destroy it. And He's asking us that we should do exactly the same. So we also have got to carry on with bringing the gospel to the people, that the people can know why Jesus died at the cross. But also that we are going to use the authority what we've got. Because as we can move into a house, we can say, okay, this is now a place and I'm moving in. And then you're suddenly finding out that you can't sleep over there. You've got bad night dreams and you can't sleep over there. But you didn't consecrate that place to God. You didn't anoint it And this is what is written over here as well. God is giving us certain things what we can do so that we can clean the place, that we can anoint it, that we can send it out any unclean spirits over there, that you can have a good night's rest. And that's very important, that we should keep our places clean, meaning that if there's stuff in your, even if it's a present what you got from somebody, like a statue from one of those Hindu statues which you can find, and when somebody gives a present to you, just chuck it away, but make sure it's broken. Don't give it away to somebody else, but chuck it away that it is gone. Those type of things don't belong into our houses. We're allowing the enemy to come in our houses. We've got to keep our houses clean. And if we know that there is something happening, like if you feel things are suddenly happening in a house which is not correct, anoint the place again. And if you are the only one who's staying in that house, then you've got the authority, then you can do it. I'm doing it at our house. At certain times you feel, okay, wait a moment, it's time now. I've got to do something again. It was at a certain time that in the house was boiling water, and I was putting water into the cup, and as I pulled the boiling water in it, the base plus the cup separated, so the water was all over the counter. Then I thought, okay, it's possible, maybe the cup was made in China, I don't know, just leave it like this. And 1 or 2 minutes later, I took a glass and I put it upside down in a dishwasher, because I know how the dishwasher works and I know how to pack it. And then as I put it down, it broke in my hand. And I think Renee was standing next to me, and I said, here's something not correct. So I took a bottle of oil, and I just went to the four corners of the site where we were staying at that time. I anointed it, I took the responsibility, I chased away whatever was over there, and it was sorted, it was finished, sorted out. And there was also a peace in my heart. And this is what God is also saying to us. We mustn't just say, okay, it's God's will, it's going to happen. He's giving us authority, and we must take it up. And if you do not know too much about it, please come. Specifically, Renee can assist you with that. I want to have a look at a few scriptures which are also talking about God's will, and where Jesus is referring then to God's will. The first one is that story where Jesus is busy with preaching, and then his brothers and his mother are coming, and they want to actually get him out of there because they think he's a little bit nuts. What he's doing now he must come back home again, and he must probably make some tables and chairs again. But listen what Jesus says. But he answered, Jesus then, and said to the one who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, "Here is my mother, here is my brother. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, and mother." If we're doing God's will, then we are brothers and sisters of each other. So turn around to the person next to you and say, "Hello, brother, hello, sister." We're all family of each other. And that's through God, that's through the Father. Because if we're doing His will, then like Jesus says, then we are brothers and sisters of each other. Because we're brothers and sisters because we're focused on Jesus. We're not focusing on people. Yes, I've got enough brothers and sisters. I'm out of a family of 9 children. You've heard it before. So I've got enough. There's no problem with that. But these are the brothers and sisters, those who do the will of the Father. John 4:34, Jesus at the well, speaking to that lady, and the lady going back again to the town, and then the disciples came who bought some food and thought, okay, now Jesus is going to eat the food because he was tired when they left him. And then they see that he is, what Yolandi has been saying, he's been spirit-filled again. He is on the go. He wants to speak and he wants to talk to everyone. And they said, "But who has given food?" And then Jesus says, "My food, my meat, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." And that is in our lives as well what it should be. That should be the power behind it, to do God's will. that we can continuously be busy what God is asking us to do. The last verse what I wanted to just chat a little bit about is the one out of Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And there he says, it's a perfect will of God. But he's mentioning two words over there. He said, do not be conformed. Now, if we take a look at the Greek word of conformed, there's a part of fashion in it as well. I don't know much about fashion. I've got to acknowledge that. I think the ladies know a little bit more about it. But as fashion is changing, people are changing. And Paul is warning for that. And he says, do not continuously change to the fashion in the world or what the people want to hear around you. But be transformed by renewing your mind. And transform, the Greek word is metamorphi. The metamorphosis, what we've got from that caterpillar, it becomes a butterfly. It's still alive from life to life. And that is what he's looking for, that we are making that change. That we're not going to be conforming to the world, but that we are going to be transforming the renewing of our mind. And when we are renewing our minds, we are focusing on what God is sharing with us, what he wants us to do, what is his will. And we can only do that if we are going to listen to what God is sharing with us, that we pray, that we spend time with him, that we're going to hear his voice, what God is telling us, what we've got to do. So if we have got to make a certain decision, that we're not going to listen to what other people are telling us or what is fashionable at that time, but that we're going to listen. God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to send? What must I do over there? And that God will tell us what to do. I want to finish off with one verse coming out of Revelations. It's actually two parts, but let me first read the first part, and then the second part is actually where it is going about God's will. Whenever the living creature give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast a crown before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. It's God's will that we exist. It's God's will that we have been created. It's God's will that he wants to us to do something. And it's going to please God if we're going to do what he wants us to do. I'm going to finish off with the last part where I actually started with. God created us part of his will. That's his decree. There's nothing what we can do about it. You couldn't decide the day of your birth. And you can say, yeah, my mom and dad. No. I still say it's God. Like Marco also said, God is knitting together in the mother's womb that child. It's God's decision. It's God's decree. And God created us to do his will, to do his command, to listen to him. What is it, Father, what you want us to do? What is it, what you want me to do? Let's stand. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we could hear again what is your will. And your will is that we're going to follow what you're telling us to do. But we can read in the Bible that for each and everything that we can come to you, that we can communicate with you, and that you're speaking to us. And Father, we know that we can speak to you and that we can call you our Father if we've got that relationship with you, Father. And if you're here this afternoon and you say, but yeah, you're talking about relationship, but I've never made that decision. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never called the Creator of heaven and earth my Father. And I've never accepted the Holy Spirit as my helper. And if you're here and you say, but I would like to make that decision this afternoon because I feel I've got to do something now. I've always been off the playing field, but I've got to get onto the playing field. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking with you this afternoon, that you've got to make that decision for the first time in public, and I'm asking you to raise your hand. Then I feel God wants to speak to two groups of people over here this afternoon. The first group is the ones, when I spoke about it, that if we pray but we're not doing God's will, the prayers are not actually going to reach God. They're going to reach Him, but nothing is going to happen. Because we know that we are not in the right relationship with God. There is something what I still have got to change. And that will be the first group. And I'm asking you, as the small group leaders, can go to the ministry part here on the right hand side. If you feel the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, that you say, but there is something in my life, I've got to bring it to God. Because yes, I can pray day and night, but if I know that this part is still between me and God, I first have got to get it out of the way. Then you can go to the right hand side, and then you can pray that, you can bring it to God, and they can pray in agreement with you. And the second group is the one that God is telling you this afternoon, you've got to say, your will be done. And that is those people who are in a certain situation which is not as a result of themselves. It could be your parents who are divorced, it could be that they are in a financial bad situation, it could be a family member who's got problems or anything like that. It wasn't through your doing, but you make it such a burden for yourself that God is telling you this afternoon, you must trust Him and you must give it to Him and you must leave it with Him. His will is going to be done. It's not for you. You can pray for it, but it's not for you that you've got to make any changes over there. And if you feel that the Holy Spirit is speaking for you there, then you can also please go there, and then you can give it to God that they can pray in agreement with you. And the last one, as I was busy with the sermon, I got a picture. Now I got a picture of green grass with small flowers on it, which looks beautiful. But I felt that the Holy Spirit was saying, today somebody is over here who feels not worthy, who feels, but I'm nothing. Even if the flower is small, it gives color. It makes the area beautiful, and the flower is beautiful. But you feeling you're doing nothing for God's kingdom. You're worthless. And God is speaking to you this afternoon. That's not the case. You are a flower. You are a flower in God's kingdom. And if you've been battling with that mindset that you're not worthy, bring it to God. And that He can confirm with you again that you are a flower, that you're beautiful, and that you are bringing beauty to that grass. If that's you, I'm also inviting you to come to the ministry part and that we can pray along with you. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you want to speak to us of what is your will, and that you've spoken to us, Father, and that we want to do your will. And thank you for the opportunity, Father, that we always have got, that we can come to you, that you're waiting for us to come to you, and that we can bring it to you, what is at the moment between us and you, Father, where we are aware of what we've got to repent of, what we've got to get out our way, so that our prayers can reach you, Father. And that the prayers can also be happening what has got to happen, what your will is concerned, Father. And thank you that we also could bring those people who've got certain burdens which are not their burdens, Father, that they can bring it to you and that they can say, your will be done. Thy will be done, Father. Thank you again that all of us can be a beautiful flower in the area where we are, representing your kingdom, reflecting your glory. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.